Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for late night Reds talk.
What is up, everybody? Happy Wednesday night. Really excited to have you here to talk about the six-game losing streak Cincinnati Reds, but we're going to get through it together as a family because that's what we do each and every week here at Late Night Reds Talk Live, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network and sponsored by our good friends at Bet Online. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and online and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports info, including this year's the basketball draft. Really like the odds of the Duke under 3.5 players selected in the first round at plus 165. Good cash right there for you. The NHL Hockey Championship, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get the welcome bonus and get in action. Bet online, where the game starts. I am Tim Daniel, excited to be here with the guys, as always, our excellent producer, Mr. Nick Kirby. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Happy to celebrate the Reds. Three straight games without an error. So, yeah, big time.
Big time. Big time. Yes, absolutely. Also joining us, former big leaguer himself, our good friend, and hopefully yours, Mr. Carlos Guevara.
What's up, boys? How deep did you have to dig for that one, Nick?
Not too hard. They had a pretty good streak going of air, so I was like, hey, you know what? I don't remember an air yesterday, and I didn't know it was three in a row. I thought it was only two in a row, so that was very encouraging.
Yeah, nice. Very encouraging. Yeah. As they're in the midst of their third longest losing streak of the season, which I don't know if it's worse is the fact that we can say they've had two losing streaks longer than six in a row, or the fact we're literally able to say that this is their third longest losing streak of the season. That's kind of an interesting statistic there, as they fall to a season worst 22 games under 500 after losing today 8-4 to the LA Dodgers. And mind you, at one point we're leading 3-0 in this game. Woof. So Donovan Solano makes his Reds debut, gets a double, a nice RBI. The 50th different guy the Reds have used this season. They are now very, 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 very much even farther out of the race. And gosh, this is just brutal. And don't worry, guys, because there's only 94 games left to go this season.
We got a lot more of this to watch, boys. So much. And they're probably going to get worse. That's the thing. Some of the guys that are hitting well, they're going to end up gone here at the trade deadline. So dig in, folks.
They play Baltimore.
Yeah. There's like that stretch. It's like 10 games in a row. They play Miami and Baltimore.
Yeah.
I want to watch Chaz or whatever his name is. I'm sorry.
Jazz.
That dude looks pretty cool to watch.
They're going to play a lot of other really, really bad teams in the second half. So, yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. You know, trade deadline will be fascinating. At least it's something fun.
Fun? Yeah, I think fun might be the way to put it.
Are we going to catch the Pirates or the Cubs? Or both?
Yeah, I mean, we.
Or should we save this for All-Star break talk?
Depends on, well, it depends on what those two teams do at the deadline. I mean, are they selling pieces? You know, I don't know if the Pirates really, like, are the Pirates trading Brian Reynolds at the deadline? They're trading Brian Reynolds. Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, Bedard, yeah, he's having a great year. The Cubs, I mean, I don't know really who, like, I don't really know who the Cubs could flip. They don't really have, yeah, like,
it's not like they're very good.
Well, they have Wilson Contreras. I mean, he would be a pretty big piece. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the Reds are better than both of those teams, but, you know, how many guys are going from each team and how deep is Green and Ashcraft and Lodolo going to pitch this year? I don't know.
Yeah, it's brutal. I don't think there's really any other way around it. At this point, we're kind of just in this like muck of it. You know, it looked like they were, I mean, they were playing really good baseball there for a stretch after the 3-22 start. Now they're at like a worse record than they have been throughout the season as far as like a win differential. In the bullpen, man. Oof. Yowzas. So, yet again tonight. Do we still blame me for Freddie Freeman last year? Does that like come over, or can we drop it?
Yeah, once he got traded, it's all.
Yeah, okay. I think it's in the wash.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank God, because I saw he hit a homer today, and I went, "Oh no, I'm going to hear that."
I think we did. I think the Reds did get him hot though.
Yeah, they did.
He was hot coming in. Man. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, like this. I mean, it's not like they've lost six straight games to, you know, bottom feeders. Like these are the two teams leading the Central and the West, two of the best teams in baseball. So, I mean, look, it is what it is. There'll be better days coming, you know, when they play the Cubs and the Pirates. And yeah, there's actually a really brutal schedule coming up. But
yeah, I was going to say, yeah. You mean the Mets and the Yankees are coming up? Yeah. Like,
oh boy. That Yankees wait, are the Yankees coming to town?
No, they go to Yankee Stadium.
Good. That would
Aaron Judge against this bullpen. Yeah. Let's just go and put Aaron Judge against the Reds bullpen. They're gonna throw Joe Kunal out there to pitch to Aaron Judge.
That dude is smashing right now.
He had another one tonight. Yeah.
I hope he goes to the Red Sox.
Does the reverse Johnny Damon?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. So, yeah, Nick, you bring up a good point. Obviously, they did lose two good teams. I just think it's the way they're losing that's more frustrating than anything. You know, tonight, Luis Castillo wasn't his best, but he still, you know, did enough to keep them in the game. And then, you know, kind of just fell apart there at the seams. And then, but we've talked about that so many times now. I mean, besides, you know, Saturday was Graham Ashcraft, without a shadow of a doubt, obviously his worst game of the season. Like, that was just, couldn't get anything going. So it's just kind of a mess of like everything going on there. But, you know, you're at this point, and I know this kind of just carries over from last year's conversation of just like, you're kind of throwing crap at a wall and seeing what's going to stick with the bullpen. And it's a little irritating, to be honest. Just kind of seeing like just all these things that happen, like, but at least at this point compared to last year, you know, you have like maybe two guys, maybe three guys you can count, like, you know, like are going to be part of your future of your pen. Hopefully. I don't know. How much longer do they have Jeff Hoffman?
I'd push back a little bit on that. I don't, none of these relievers are going to be here in 2024 that are on the current roster. I mean, I don't know, maybe one or two of them, but like, I would say like if Hunter Green was getting rocked every night and Graham Ashcraft was getting rocked every night and, you know, Jonathan India, he hit a home run yesterday. He was looking terrible. You know, Tyler Stevenson, like those are the guys I really care about at this stage of the season. Same. I don't really care what Joel Kunal does. Like he's not going to be a part of the next Reds, you know, good team that we're hoping probably 2024 is probably, you know, the year. So, I mean, if anyone's going to suck, I'd rather this group suck than, you know, the lineup.
Oh, they are.
Oh yeah. They definitely are not, killing it, but I mean, I think it would be more deflating for me if it was, you know, the other way around.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And Castillo and Mally are pitching well. I mean, you know, just I hold my breath every time they pitch. Like, God, just please don't get hurt the next 6 weeks. You know?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's there's not time to recover before the deadline, you know. So I thought it was smart. David Bell pulled him 103 pitches. Like he was like, we're not, you know, we're not pushing it today. You know, you got to protect these guys because this is, you know, they're the trade chips to get you back.
Yeah, they probably have a hard number for David to use with those two guys.
I imagine when Mally threw 119, David got a call the next day. What are you mm-hmm. doing? What are you doing, David?
He's probably waiting for him in his office after the game.
You want to run through some questions here? We got a lot of really good stuff in the chat. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
here.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think about Almora getting pinched at four tonight?
Didn't like it.
I didn't mind it earlier in the year, but like, I mean, I don't know. He's like three home runs in five games. Like,
he's doing that like Brandon Phillips thing where it's like, yeah, he's hitting like 290, but his on base percentage is like 302. So it's like walks are not a thing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially who hit for it? Was it Senzel, right? Came in for him?
It was Schrock.
Oh, Schrock, yeah.
I would rather they had Schrock hit for Senzel and just if you somehow tie the game, figure it out in the outfield. Like, who cares? Tommy Pham could play center field. You know, like, it wouldn't be the end of the world. If you tie it at
especially
eight,
GABP.
Like, you know, live with it. So, yeah, I didn't really get that.
Yeah, man. So, like you said, I was really excited to see India hit a homer yesterday. Glad to see him back. But not, you know, the injury news on Tyler Stevenson seems to be pretty good. Seems like he was working out today. So, you got that going for us.
As soon as they hit that pop fly that India tried to score on, like, he hadn't even got underneath the ball yet, the left fielder. And I was like, please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Because I knew he was going to tag. Maybe he was out by 10 feet.
Maybe we should add that to our list of things to protect. No, if there's any chance of a play at the plate, just don't send him. It's not worth it.
Do not take the extra base with this player, this player, this player, or this player.
You will be the least aggressive team in baseball. Yep.
We do have some rehab assignment news here. So Jose Barrero continues to have a little bit of an up and down performance since being optioned to AAA. Justin Dunn, who was part of the Winker Suarez trade, is making his first rehab start, looks like on Sunday, with the Dragons. The Dragons are a must-watch baseball team if you are into that, because they're the Reds organization that's really good and have a lot of their younger prospects. Vlad Gutierrez throwing a bullpen this week. Tyler Naquin could start his rehab assignment as soon as this week. And then Nick Lodolo had his first rehab start, going out two innings, but they get six strikeouts. So, good news there on the Lodolo front and everyone, I think, but Barrero. But, you know, sounds like if things go the way they might, we'll be seeing a lot of Nick Lodolo starts this summer and the dog days.
Yeah, I'm really excited about Justin Dunn. I'm excited to see what he has. I mean, man, if he's able to solidify a rotation spot, I mean, I think that really starts making that trade look pretty good for the Reds long term. He's a guy that was a pretty well thought of prospect and just kind of struggled, had some injuries, but you know, hopefully, you know, Cincinnati's where you can kind of figure it out. So yeah, I'm excited for that. And then, you know, Lodolo, I have a feeling they're going to go with a 6-man rotation. That seems like it would make the most sense. You'd be limiting Castillo and Mally's starts. I don't think they can really do much to help their stock at this point. Like,
yeah,
all they can do is get hurt. So, yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense. You know, I know people are like, well, what about the bullpen? Who cares? Like, I really don't care how many games the bullpen blows. Like, just it is what it is. Like, you know, hopefully, you know, you build some character with some of these guys. You know, but and then, yeah, I mean, Tyler Naquin, that'll be nice as well. You know, another potential trade chip for the Reds. Be nice to get him, you know, him back in the lineup. I still contend I would love for the Reds to look at Naquin and Drury at, you know, short extensions before they look at moving them. You know, I don't know how likely that is. You don't see a lot of those midseason deals. So I don't really know the logistics behind that, or if that's something that just players aren't interested in. But hey, if they are, you know, hey, I think both those guys would make sense for the Reds, kind of bridging to the Ellie De La Cruz's and Alan Serta's of the world.
What's going on with Jake Fraley? Does he like breathe anymore? Like, does he like walk? Do his arms work?
I got no update on him. He's something with his foot that's really, you know, messed up. So I don't know. He would be nice to see it. It'd be nice to have him back, you know, after the trade deadline, you know, when there's probably going to be some spots available. It'd be nice to give him a run, see if he is a player that, you know, at least could be a platoon, you know, could hold down a platoon spot, you know, going into the future.
It's going to be a lot of fun going to games when it's like $7 for really good seats again. Really excited about that. Carlos comes in town in July. We're just like spending $10 on tickets and sitting on the first baseline. Could be good times.
Still
a good shade spot.
Still a weekend series in July. They'll still be.
Yeah, it'll be the first series back from the All-Star break. So
yeah, they'll probably be good crowds that week
against the Cardinals.
Yeah, all the Cardinals will bring their fans. You're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once football season starts, then you'll. Really
yeah,
have.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's kind of goes, but we're back. Yes, save the Reds are up 2-0 and the starter's out. We have 9 outs to get. What guys in the bullpen right now are you going to?
Yeah, Jeff Hoffman's my first option. Maybe Reaver if there's some lefties. Sessa and Warren are kind of serviceable.
I mean, it's Hoffman and whoever can throw strikes. Yeah. I mean,
it's just flip a coin. Strikes. Whoever's had the most rest, just
right. Yeah,
your turn, buddy.
At this point, just like pray. Whoever walks through the door, just pray. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's rough. I know Clay had an article about it this week on Just Baseball, but I think, you know, for the most part, offensively, the guys they've picked up that have been able to play, really. I mean, we talked about this last week a little bit, but those guys have worked out. You know, I mean, we just talked about Albert Amora and Matt Reynolds and guys like that. You know, everyone basically put Aramis Garcia. That's really kind of either they played like better than we thought they would, or, you know, or just have just been pretty good. None of them have truly like been terrible. You know, Donovan Solano is just now getting his first big league at bat. So like there's that, I guess, if we're joining the optimistic red side that we try to do on the show.
Yeah, I mean, Pham and Drury were great pickups. Like, I mean,
yeah, they were.
You know, I mean, their numbers, you see the if you're watching the StatCast numbers, I mean, they're not fluky. They're legit what they've done. Alberto Mora Jr., yeah, maybe a little bit more fluky, but I'm also not sure he's not better than Nixon Zell right now.
Does Mike Spoustakis play it all the rest of the year? Do you think they just kind of like give it up at some point?
They're going to make him go to spring training next year. I think he's at least in the Shogo situation where, you know, you're hoping and praying Mike just decides to retire in the off season and throw away $18 million next year plus whatever the buyout is. They still owe like $22 million more.
Yeah,
after this
too
year.
Much.
I have a feeling he'll probably show up. He'll probably show up to spring, but they're at least make him. Make him get through spring before they would, you know, cut him. I don't know. I don't see a lot of hope there. I just,
yeah.
It you know, the underlying numbers were bad last year too, just like this year. I can't see really, you know, anything that tells me he's gonna have any success anytime again.
No, Alejo Lopez is about to get a lot of at bats, boys.
Yeah, let's go.
Could be, but yeah, I mean, to kind of piggyback off what you said earlier, Nick, this is kind of like, you know, Tyler Stevenson for a guy who hurts played well, Jonathan India, you know, those guys are like part of the future plan, so you have that going. And then, you know, the Ellie De La Cruz's, the Jay Allens, the Alan Serdas, stuff to look forward to at least. Which brings us here, our latest update of the Farm Watch, which, if there's a company out there that wants to sponsor this, we can put your name right here on this banner. Really kind of pop up. So Matt McClain still has a good solid OPS, hitting homers and stealing bases, 115 weighted runs created plus. Brandon Williams with a 3.11 ERA since May, 49 strikeouts and only 22 walks. So Ellie De La Cruz up to 153 weighted runs created plus, and Connor Phillips, 60 innings pitch, a 3 ERA and 12.6 strikeouts per 9 innings. So pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to see McClain, you know, maybe cut down on the strikeouts a little bit, but yeah, he's kind of held steady about where he's at, you know, overall, like weighted runs created plus wise. De La Cruz just continues to rake. You know, wonder if he'll get the call to Chattanooga by the end of the year. It'd be really cool to see him, you know, get a promotion and have some success and finish the year strong. And then, yeah, I mean, Connor Phillips, just another quality arm in the organization. Definitely really excited about him.
Yeah, Connor Phillips. Those, my numbers were better at Dayton, so don't get too excited about him, guys.
Did you have the strikeouts?
Yeah, right, I did.
Yeah.
But that was, you guys were low A then. Dayton's high A now.
Oh.
Whatever. We're still in Dayton, Tim.
Wow. Mr. Negative, Tim. Jeez.
Hey, man. I'm just trying to make sure that we don't tamper our excitement for Connor Phillips, okay? I'll always give Carlos his love for his numbers.
They don't have the stats on Fangraphs for you, but Carlos said at a Double A Chattanooga,
they're on the back of the baseball card.
Yeah,
12.6 strikeouts at Double A in 2007.
Yeah,
there you go.
I expect these.
Love it. Should we go through this now? We're gonna talk about it.
Sure.
All right.
I should put my list up from the napkin I sent it on.
So we put this graphic together yesterday. It was sent to me during my other show doing my NBA mock draft. So I had to think a lot after thinking a lot about like picks and stuff. So the three of us put together our list of the 10 players we think are most likely to get traded at the trade deadline from the Reds. Nick and I both went Luis Castillo at the top. Carlos went Tommy Pham, but at Castillo second. We all agreed that Joey Votto was the least likely of the 10 to be traded. But for the most part, I mean, I was a little lower on Pham than Carlos was. Nick was the lowest on Pham of us all. I was the highest on Malley, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought for sure Castillo and Malley would be the guys that are going to get the most calls on. So that's why I did my numbers. But what kind of really made you guys put yours together the way you did?
I think Pham, I mean, he's earning $6 million this year, so he's still going to cost the team about $2 million. You know, that's why I think he's a little lower, and then, of course, the other challenges that he, you know, brings a team. I'm not sure he's going to draw as much interest as I think a lot of people think. Just cost-wise, you know, like Tyler Naquin's a cheaper player. Brandon Drury is a lot cheaper player. Brandon Drury ain't going to cost you nothing. So I don't know. We all have Kyle Farmer pretty high, though. That would probably surprise some Reds fans that we all have him in our top three. So I mean, I think Castillo and Farmer are my two for sure. Like 3 through 7, maybe 8 through 10. I think it's very, very unlikely, unless you're throwing Moose on with Castillo. You know, there's something there.
Yeah, we all have the same three players in 8 through 10, just in different orders, it looks like. Actually, Carlos and I have the exact same 8 through 10. Nick's the only one that has Moose higher than Minor. I just think no one's going to want Mike Minor, is what that comes down to.
I think the Reds want Mike Minor, to be honest. Because again, someone has to start these games in the second half when you have guys shut down. So I'm not even sure the Reds will really be looking to move him unless someone, you know, specifically calls him. I just think Moose maybe has the potential to be thrown on like Homer Bailey was, to the Dodgers. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying I think that's more likely than someone, you know, wanting interest in Mike Minor. I think the Reds probably would rather just hold on to him and have someone to give them some innings. I think that's why they brought him in.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I have Malley so low because it's kind of like I almost have a little bit of hope that, you know, they sign him to an extension because he's the type of guy who's, you know, just you know, right in the middle between young and old, veteran type of veteran, not old, but just a veteran, you know, and he'd be the perfect guy to have in there. It's not going to cost you that much, you know, to be around in 2024 and, you know, maybe 24 through, I don't know, 26, 27, something like that. He's going to need to be an anchor there for those guys because they're all still going to be young. So I just don't see how you're going to be serious in 2024 with nothing but rookie pitchers, you know, or who are you going to bring in? Somebody like Mike Minor. I'd rather you have a solid, you know, a solid number two, number three type veteran on the team. So that's kind of why I have him so low. I'm just kind of hoping that, you know, and I'm probably going to get crushed for this, but I'm hoping that, you know, the front office kind of sees it that way and holds on to him a little bit.
I'm sort of with you on that. I think they definitely need to be shopping him. I mean, I think they should be shopping just about everyone. I have a feeling that the Reds aren't going to get maybe the offers that they want for Mally, and that's going to make them, you know, say, you know, evaluate, hey, well, maybe we should look at keeping him, or, you know, keeping him, looking at the offseason, seeing if there's more interest there, looking at an extension in the offseason, kind of, you know, giving your options on that. I think they should be shopping him. If no one's going to pay what he's worth, then, you know, just hold on to him and you know, explore your different options in the offseason. But, I mean, you could trade Tyler Mahle and go out and sign a free agent, and you're getting prospects back now, and you're getting a free agent. So, I definitely, if it's between signing Castillo or Mally, I'm definitely 100% more on Mally. Castillo's just too old for me to sign. The Reds should never sign a pitcher over 30 years old for more than a couple years. I think that would be a massive mistake. Just it's too big of a risk for this team with the way they spend.
I can't believe I've hit the point where I agree on that. I used to be like super pro Castillo and extremely frustrated with Mally, and now I'm like, not frustrated with either of them, obviously, but like, yeah, I'm really in the point where like Tyler Mahle is kind of the guy I'd like to build. Yeah, I think they should build around as far as the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, you have to see what offers are out there. I mean, if someone's going to offer you a package for Tyler Mahle that really helps you long term, then yeah, I mean, you got to take it, especially when you could, you know, just go out and sign a free agent pitcher. I think the qualifying offer really changes a lot of this. I think that was kind of glossed over. In with the new CBA, like people didn't think that was that big of a deal, but I think that makes teams like the Reds and teams lower with lower payrolls than the Reds be far more aggressive with trading their players, you know, because you don't have that protection anymore. That made you say, like last year, hey, let's hold on to Nick Castellanos. Let's not trade him at the trade deadline because we can probably get as much as we could get at the trade deadline in a comp pick. So I think that definitely changes a lot of the trajectory.
Yeah, that's true.
Adam asks, will Jose Barrero play for the Reds this year? Yes, Jose Barrero will play for the Reds.
Yes,
unless he has a season-ending injury in Louisville, he will play. He's not hitting at Triple A right now. Kyle Farmer continuing to hit well. I don't see why you would bench Kyle Farmer or move him to another position when you're 6 weeks from the trade deadline. That doesn't help Kyle Farmer's trade value, right?
Do you think when they're in San Francisco, that Kyle Farmer's going to be like house shopping while he's there?
He should be. I mean, man, I love that fit. I love that fit. I just think that's it's probably one of those it's too good to be true things, you know?
Yeah.
We got another good question here. We are Penn State Reds. Do you think it would be wise to move some pieces in early July or waiting till the deadline the best move? I mean, I'm sure the Reds are shopping everyone now. I mean, if someone offering you something great, sure, absolutely. And you know, you need to weigh in the risk of that player getting hurt. But teams just aren't desperate enough yet. You know, there just isn't that desperation. There's a reason all the moves happen at 3 o'clock on whenever the trade deadline is, because teams get desperate. You know, you want the Mets and the Dodgers to be in a bidding war for Luis Castillo. You want them to, you know, have to keep going up because, you know, there's just the, and that's why I don't think the Reds got those offers in the offseason, because there just wasn't the pressure on those other teams to make those moves. But there will be.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you look at a team like the Mets with all their injuries they have in their rotation. I mean, they got a lot of money tied up in it, don't get me wrong, but that's going to kind of make that look like more enticing for a team like the Reds if people are going to kind of try to make that move. So
we also got a comment about Solano, having him low, you know, on our list. I mean, he's only played one game. He's another guy that's going to cost a team. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like much, but all these teams have budgets. He's going to cost a team over $1 million, you know, for 2 months, you know. I don't know. He'd have to really, I think, come up and hit really, really well over the next like 5 weeks to really get any sort of trade value. I mean, I think if the Reds are trading him, they're probably almost giving him away, maybe even paying part of his salary at this point.
Because he signed pretty late, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like later than, I mean, everybody signed late. He was really late, wasn't he?
He was a big part of Locker Watch.
He was before Pham. I mean, Pham was super late, but
yeah.
I still think he was a good signing for the Reds. You know, it just stinks he didn't start the season until June 22nd. He would have been a really nice bat in April when the Reds were playing Colin Moran every day against left-handed pitching. You know, just brutal.
Seems like so long ago.
Yeah, this year has aged us.
This is a pretty good question from DJ Johnson. Ignoring the prospect capital, what's a contending team you want to see Castillo or Mally traded to, just purely for rooting for them?
Bring them on a sunny San Diego, baby.
Well, yeah, Carlos
is obvious. They can be in the bullpen over there. That's how stacked they are.
I don't know, man. Blake Snell's been pretty bad.
I forgot about him.
I think Luis Castillo could creep onto a rotation.
Yeah.
The Giants, I mean, I love the Giants. I love what they do. So I'd love for either one of them to get there. I'd say Toronto, but one of the Reds pitchers can't go there.
Which
maybe maybe Cleveland.
I was going to say, why not Cleveland? They're in first place. Like, they've played really good baseball.
I think they should have money to spend. They're like 29th in payroll. Like,
you have Castillo, Shane Bieber, and Cal Quantrill in a playoff series. Like,
they have the prospect capital too.
Send them to Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, they're not.
Seattle's probably going the other way at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think they are too.
Philly
might be able to get Suarez back.
One of them goes to the Yankees.
I don't think the Yankees are going to be looking for pitching. I mean, unless they have injuries, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why, like, because the Reds will probably want Jason Dominguez, and the Yankees aren't giving him up.
I think Kyle Farmer has a better chance of ending up on the Yankees than either of those players.
I do too.
No,
that's really
say that.
That's really their only need is shortstop.
Well, he already has short hair. He doesn't have a beard, so you know.
Kyle Farmer, New York Yankee. I'd root for the Yankees for Kyle Farmer.
I was going to say, I kind of really love, I don't know what the money situation is. I know they have a decent prospect capital, and we'll have a guest to talk about this in a couple weeks, but I've kind of the point where, like, I used MLB TV to watch the Mets because they're just incredibly fun to watch. They're super good. They're stacked. So, like, putting Luis Castillo there, and then if they get, you know, Scherzer back in the postseason, you have those guys, and because if I understand correctly, they're not really counting on Jacob deGrom pitching anytime this year. So
if you're banking on him to make starts, you're mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. So Luis Castillo for the Mets would be pretty fun.
Yeah. It's hard to see the Mets not adding a starting pitcher just because of how much. I mean, they're paying Max Scherzer, what, $38 million this year? Yeah. Like, they have a lot invested in this season. It's hard to see them not, you know, wanting to push on.
So. Could Tommy Pham end up on the Mets?
I'm fascinated. Okay. I'm fascinated when Tommy Pham trade rumors come out. That will be a fun thing to track. Especially if there's little like nuggets like thrown in there. This team is not interested for this reason.
You know, we got to cross the Giants off the list.
probably the Angels. Trout probably doesn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah. Good point. Can you go back to Tampa?
Unless the Giants are struggling, then they've, you know, they're kind of crazy. Okay, we're going to add this guy to the mix. We're going to wake you guys up.
Oh, man. That'd be fun. That's a really great question. I really like that one. Red Scout 21 Cincy. Is Tommy Pham the reason Jock Peterson's going to start in the All-Star game? Yes.
I was wondering why he's leading, I guess, but it's the Bay Area, I guess.
Dude, he's having a great season.
Is he? I don't know. I just figured there'd be somebody better than Jock Peterson to start the NL All-Star game.
He's got a 912 OPS.
Damn.
He was the highlight of the World Series parade last year. Like, he was pretty awesome.
Good for him.
Yeah, he lived his best life.
I hope he does, and then I hope Tommy Pham does not make it, and he wears some sort of shirts at the All-Star game just to spark it up. And then once the All-Star game starts, you're going to see Tommy Pham come from the top rope in left field.
What is he, Sting?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the NBA All-Star game. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to throw this out there. You know what's going to happen is Brandon Drury is going to get selected as the Reds representative. He's going to get traded. It's going to be one of those
like Jeff Samardzija did,
where the Reds don't have anyone because they traded their one All-Star.
Yeah, it happened to Jeff Samardzija, who's with the Cubs. They traded him to Oakland for the half season. So he went to the All-Star game. He was wearing A's gear. Yeah. It was the weirdest looking thing ever. Also, I ended up pitching for the Giants for a while. Reds Giants this weekend, do they fight?
No.
I'd be disappointed if they didn't.
It's going to be, if they do, it's going to be like one of those ones where it was at the end of Amir's, you know, one of his 20.
He like runs out there by himself and
where everybody's like, yeah, everybody's like, oh God, here we go again. We don't really want to have your back, but we have to. So don't hurt him.
I don't know if Tommy Pham needs backup, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think he believes he needs it.
That's true.
That's true. That's the point.
Yeah.
That was better said, Tim.
Rex Kwando. Yeah.
Rex Kwando. Bowdier should say. Oh, man. Well, I think at least tomorrow, you know, with how this losing streak's gone, you at least have a fun pitching matchup tomorrow. Will the game be fun? I don't know. But Hunter Green and Clayton Kershaw is pretty awesome. So I actually thought about 12:35 my time, so I think 11:35 yours.
I think I'm going to have to miss it. Dang it. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, I think you're going to be okay. Yeah. But yeah, they got a San Fran Kershaw for 3 days. Good to see our old friend Disco on Sunday.
This is going to be Mike Minor. This is going to be Mike Minor's big start. San Francisco homer ball's been hurting him. It's a big ballpark. This is going to be his Reds highlight. Seven innings.
Can't wait.
Seven innings. No. 6 2/3, one run. There we go. You heard it here first. Yeah.
You know, Tyler Mahle doesn't want to get showed up by his old teammate.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and clip that and then send it to me so that way I have it if it goes bad? And I can send it to you immediately because I don't know how to edit it and send it.
And he neutralizes Jock Peterson, their best hitter, you know? That you now know is their best hitter.
Nick provided my wife with like months of entertainment with all the videos he's clipped of me. She's a big fan, so.
What are we talking about here?
I don't know where to go from there. All right, so we got the Cubs series after that, and it looks like we should have Nick Lodola back for that. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that's the hope. That's man. It's a fun. It's a fun rotation. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Right now they are going on, and you're going to add Justin Dunn here at some point to it. So, I mean, at least these are, you know, fun pitchers that are interesting to watch.
Then let's see. Oh my God, that freaking homestand! That is brutal.
Doubleheader at the Pirates mixed in there.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. Oh my God. 3 with the Braves, 3 with the Mets, and 3 with Tampa before you go to the Yankees.
And then,
holy cow, what a rough month.
6 straight games against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then Miami and Baltimore homestand, baby. We're coming.
Are they losing 100 this year?
No, they're not losing 100. No chance.
97.
Might be a little side bet going on. The little late night Reds text chat.
I don't think they'll lose 95. I think
we got action for sure.
Oh, man. I hope you're right. I mean, I don't think it really matters. I think the difference between losing, 84 and 100 is basically the same thing at some point, right?
Yeah, what do you just need to be in the top six for the lottery now? So just
oh, yeah, that's right. We don't even get the damn guaranteed first pick anymore. What the hell is this? Damn it, NBA. You just had to influence everybody. Nick, what was worse for you? Klay Thompson winning the NBA championship or his brother putting the dagger in the Reds tonight?
Wow, man, that's just hurtful. Yeah, I don't know. They both were rough. Hey, I'm good because I didn't know this. Fangraphs right now has the Reds at 95 as their projected loss total. I'm good on those numbers. I hadn't looked. I haven't looked in a long time.
If you think you're good, we'll see.
Man, it's great, buddy. Yeah.
I'm going to say under 96. Let's say 96.
It's like, yeah, they got this big stand coming up where they play the Marlins, the Orioles, and the Marlins again.
We ain't even at the dog days of summer yet, boys.
I know. It's not even July yet, and we're already talking like this. But hey, you know, if you're having
a terrible game.
But if you're having fun with us, like always, each and every week, you'll feel free to check out latenightreds.merchmake.com. Get your solid t-shirts, sweatshirts, dog bandanas, or as Carlos puts it,
granny panties.
There's definitely dog bandanas, I promise. Yeah, I know my wife's family bought a couple of the Stein beer steins, and they're big fans of them. So thank you guys for tuning in, as always. Be sure to give us a nice, solid 5-star review, even if you listen to this episode on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Google Play. Also, give us a follow on YouTube each and every week at Nick Kirby/Late Night Reds. And yeah, like I said, check out Bet Online. Use the promo code Believe, get that 50% welcome bonus as they present the show each and every week. So hopefully next week we're talking about not being on a losing streak. Still, we have a couple W's, but we will be here same time, same place. Take it easy, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.